midfield, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio.
Oh, they got it! On the run, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford and in association with Quaker Steak and Lube on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Fights and pushes, and he's in! Touchdown! It is all over! The Browns have won it!
And now, here's your host, Vic Carucci.
Very happy Football Wednesday to you. Good show ahead. And lots of news coming out of here in Berea today. Lots of news. The best of it being, well, all of it being good. The best of it is DeQuell Jackson being named the AFC Defensive Player of the Week. Very nice honor for the Browns standout middle linebacker. And also some news today, and we're going to hear from DeQuell in a moment here. But first, let's hear from Coach Shurmur talking about the fact that Brandon Whedon has been cleared from a concussion to practice, and he did practice today.
He was cleared to practice. He participated in the meetings, participated in a walkthrough, and he'll do everything in practice today, and we'll get him ready to start on Sunday. If there are some unforeseen setbacks, then, of course, Colt will start. But as we're moving forward right now, he's cleared to practice, and we're moving ahead with Brandon.
Yeah, all indications our systems are go, fully go for Brandon Whedon to make the start at quarterback when the Browns take on the Oakland Raiders Sunday. I mentioned DeQuell Jackson named the AFC Defensive Player of the Week for the games played on November 22nd through the 26th. The NFL announcing that today. He had nine tackles and a hand in a couple of the turnovers and forced a fumble, recovered another during Sunday's 20-14 win against the Steelers. So it's very nice when you got an eight turnover game, when you got a defensive effort like that, that at least one player from that defense gets league-wide recognition. And DeQuell deserves that, and here's DeQuell Jackson.
I'm not about personal accolades. It's great, don't get me wrong. Put a lot of pride in what I do, passionate about what I do. I love what I do, and I love playing here in the city of Cleveland. But it's all about everybody in this locker room and the coaches. It, you know, it's a little bit better when you win games. And as you guys know, it's been some rocky years at times. But right now, we had a great week last week. Hopefully, we can carry it over to Oakland and get another win and hopefully start a streak here.
Yeah, very humble, as always, DeQuell Jackson in accepting that award, but quickly turning the spotlight back onto the team. And that is the classic definition of a leader, which is what DeQuell Jackson is. By the way, the first Brown player to win the AFC Defensive Player of the Week honor since linebacker David Bowens got that in week number 7 of the 2010 season. So good stuff. He was the AFC Defensive Player of the Month, Jackson was, if you recall, last September, September of 2011, excuse me, not last, this September of a year ago. He was AFC Defensive Player of the Month. So, I you know, it just keeps, for DeQuell, it just keeps moving forward. I think the opportunity, hopefully, that this guy can get Pro Bowl recognition in that voting. And I know a lot of you out there are casting those votes for him. And he needs that groundswell because the fan vote is part of it. But hopefully his peers around the NFL, the offensive players who vote for defensive players in the locker rooms throughout the league, hopefully coaches, the other part of the voting process of opposing teams, do the right thing and do their part to help DeQuell Jackson get the honor, the recognition that he deserves, because he's been one of the stalwarts on this team. Obviously, Phil Dawson another, but really DeQuell Jackson, heart and soul player, and the conscience in many respects of this defense, and I think of this football team. We got a great show. Steve Tasker is with us tonight, the CBS sports analyst. He will be on Sunday's game for CBS, the Browns game at Oakland. In fact, he's going to be doing the following week's game here in Cleveland against Kansas City. He'll have that assignment as well. But you're going to hear from Steve talk about this game between the Browns and the Raiders and get his perspective on what he's seen of the Browns. He knows this team well. He's been assigned to it often by CBS. Paul Gutierrez, he is a beat writer and covers the Raiders for CSN, Comcast Sportsnet, in the Bay Area. So Paul is a real outstanding journalist who knows that Raider team well, and he'll be with us to break it down tell us all about that 3-8 team. Yeah, same record as the Browns. Kaluka Maiava, linebacker, part of that outstanding effort against the Steelers and part of this linebacking core that will be looking to hopefully do the same type of thing to the Raiders on Sunday. He'll join us in our Inside the Locker Room feature for today's show. Sits down with Jameer Howerton. And your questions, your comments, the ones that you submit to the Browns official Facebook, Twitter pages, to our email address, daily@clevelandbrowns.com. Reminding you that the Browns daily Twitter page is Browns_daily, our handle. Encourage you to follow us on that. We increase those follows all the time and gives you show updates and links to the live stream and on clevelandbrowns.com, and also the archived portions of the show and the whole show and interviews and so forth. Let's go to email. Tony emails us from Atlanta. He says, "Hi, Vic. First off, love the show and all what you do for the Brownies and the community." Well, that's very nice of you to say, Tony. I appreciate that. Your question is what? Your question is, you're curious on my thoughts on with the new ownership and the CEO coming in. Do you think they will keep Pat Shurmur and Tom Heckert? And Tony goes on to say, I know you may have answered this already. I probably have addressed this at one point or another, especially when the ownership officially took over. But he says he sees it as a step backward if change is made. Tony goes on to say that the team will have to learn a new defensive, offensive scheme rather than keeping momentum and going with what they know and are getting quite comfortable in. I feel like some of the younger guys would be rookies all over again if they clean house. Your thoughts? Well, Tony, anything is possible when you are talking about new people in charge. We get that, right? I mean, that's the reality, I think, inside this building that everyone gets. Football, non-football, it's just accepted that, you know, that change could take place. And you know, a lot of us look at January as a very interesting time because that's the end of the season, and that's the time that's been pointed to by the group running this team now, especially the team of Jimmy Haslam and Joe Banner, to go over and assess. And well, they're going over and assessing now to determine what steps to be taken that will put this thing in the shape that they want it to be in. Your points about continuity being affected are good ones and are certainly ones that I'm sure, and not speaking for these men, but I know they understand this. I think they've been asked about this specifically. They get it, that if you make change, you deal with that transition of, like you said, coaching or, in the case of Tom Heckert, the general manager. And that transition can be a very difficult thing. It doesn't have to be always a problem and a reason to go backwards. It can sometimes mean, you know, good success moving forward. You see, just for instance, a Greg Schiano taking over in Tampa Bay. And a lot of folks said this college coach from Rutgers coming into the NFL, he doesn't get it. He's going to be, he was too harsh. He brought in a culture, a heavier hand on things and heavier discipline with players, on and on and on, a very different thing from what this team had previously. And then it turns out that, you know, everything starts to come together. And you know, you wonder if, in fact, that was what the team might have needed. Okay, that might have been exactly what that team needed. Who knows? But it is a change. The Buccaneers appear to be better for it. Now, other times you take backward steps. Other times the things you point out, learning new system, learning new scheme. And if you've been at a place where there's been that turnstile effect on the coaching level and in the GM level, it can be disruptive just because, okay, here we go again, and you inevitably don't change everything because players stick around and they've been taught and learned one thing. Are they going to have to be retaught and learn something else? How dramatically different would it be? So standing pat, you don't stand pat for the sake of standing pat to say, yeah, we don't need to do this now. You know, they're going to look very hard at this. If no change were to be made at those levels, it's because there's a strong belief that this team benefits from that. It isn't just because you don't want to upset the apple cart, so to speak, and make it difficult to, you know, and worry about a setback through transition. That's not why you do that. If you've got something better to put in place, you go for it and let it germinate, let it take hold. But if you do make the change, if you don't make the change, it's because you believe the people doing their job are good at what they do, are good enough at what they do to continue doing it. And I think those decisions will happen. There'll be some of those decisions that happen. I can't specifically say that'll be the case for the coach and the GM, one or the other, or both, or neither, whatever. But it's going to be interesting to watch. And everybody here, as I said, kind of operates with that in the back of their mind. But the smartest thing that I think everybody's doing is doing their job and not being preoccupied with that. And you can't. You've got to just proceed on. So great question by you, Tony, and I appreciate the following and the fact that you're tuning in from Atlanta for us. I hope that helps you out. We've got much more coming up for you in a couple of minutes. I'm going to talk with Steve Tasker, former standout Buffalo Bills player, CBS analyst on their broadcast. He will be with Bill McAtee for this game coming up Sunday in Oakland. As you listen to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
John can't wait. His new F-150 will be here in 30 minutes.
His new what?
F-150. Liberty Ford is delivering it to the house.
Delivering? Are you two just made of money?
No, we were busy later, so they're bringing it to us, paperwork and all. And with the deal we got, I'd say Liberty just made it really convenient.
Ugh, that's just too easy.
No, that's just Liberty Ford.
Liberty's been stolen. Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion.
For your cooler and charcoal budget. For depositing $100 from Section 100. For being ready on game day, PNC has tools like Mobile Deposit that lets you snap and send checks from most anywhere. And Virtual Wallet that alerts you when you're running low. See our tools and apps at pnc.com/alwaysopen. PNC Bank, for the achiever in you. Official bank of the Cleveland Browns. A supported mobile device is needed to use Mobile Deposit. Standard data rates and certain other restrictions apply. PNC Bank, National Association, member FDIC.
The following was inspired by an actual conversation.
Hello, Subway.
Hey, I was wondering where your meat is sliced.
I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
Oh, man, because every day Arby's is, like, freshly slicing turkey or Angus for their three cheese and bacon sandwich.
Yeah.
Then they smother it in melted cheeses and crispy bacon. Where do you think, like, your meat would be sliced?
Definitely somewhere. I don't...
Ah, somewhere. Yes, that's, I got a cousin from there.
Subway is not a registered trademark of Arby's at participating restaurants for a limited time. Arby's, slicing up freshness.
Hey, Browns fans. Your favorite Cleveland Browns are going green, and you can too. Intercept your waste. Recycle your cardboard, paper, plastic, cans, and glass at home, at work, and on game day. Remember to compost food scraps and yard clippings too. Make it a habit. Reduce, reuse, recycle, and compost. Visit CuyahogaSWD.org to learn more. Powered by the Ohio Department of Natural Resources in the Cuyahoga County Solid Waste District.
Hi, gang, Riz here. Buying a car, second biggest decision a household or family makes. So why not make a decision that's based on what you need and want rather than what some dealer has the most of? Gillingham Ford prides themselves on having the three pillars of customer service. They're fair, they're open, and they're honest. Don't buy into the third-party ads like WeGotTheBestDeal.com, blah, blah, blah. Check out their photoed inventory online. Stop in and see why Gillingham is truly the home of the real deal. They're centrally located between Ridge and Tiedemann Roads on exit off I-480. Gillingham Ford knows it. Customer service, the most important part of your purchase experience. Let their over 150 years of experience help you out. Stop in 8383 Brook Park Road in Parma and let them take care of you. You'll find out why Gillingham Ford is the home of the real deal. Gillingham Ford, celebrating 55 years in the community. Go see them. Second biggest decision a household makes. See you there.
On Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Vic Carucci here. And Browns fans unite. The all-new Browns Fan 4-Pack is on sale now, starting at just $199. You get four tickets to the Browns' home matchup versus the Kansas City Chiefs on December 9th or the Washington Redskins on December 16th. Plus, your four Browns tickets include four hot dogs, four Pepsis, four game programs, and a parking pass. That's over $50 in savings. To purchase your Browns fan four-pack, call Ticketmaster at 1-800-745-3000 or visit ClevelandBrowns.com today. And this segment is brought to you by Quaker Steak and Lube. And it's an absolute pleasure to welcome aboard our great friend, Steve Tasker. He will be the analyst for Sunday's game for CBS Sports between the Browns and the Raiders. Welcome back to the show, Steve.
Yeah, it's good to be here. Thanks for having me on, Vic.
Well, Steve, let's start with a Browns team that I guess for the first time that I know you've had multiple assignments with this club, or you've covered this club multiple times in your time with CBS, but I think this is one of the times when I've had a discussion with you after a Browns win, and I know we've talked about how close and competitive they've been in other games, but now that translates to victory. How big do you think this is for the Browns to beat the Steelers last week?
Well, I think it's big. It's always big to win, no question. But I think to beat a team like the Steelers, with or without Roethlisberger, is always good. Winning in the inside the division gives you a little bit of pep, you know. I mean, those games are worth more. I think it's huge for Cleveland to pull it off, particularly the way they did. You know, I mean, you know, eight turnovers and all those fumbles and a couple interceptions, and you know the way they're getting turnovers this season is really going to help them. And you know, I just think it couldn't have been better for them to win it this way.
Yeah, you don't see that. I mean, eight turnover games are pretty rare in this league, and especially from a team like Pittsburgh. But the formula to me, Steve, looked like, again, a team that was hitting very hard, the Browns' defense. Those fumbles, those five fumbles, they were not fluky plays for the most part. The Browns were wrapping people up and putting those shots on the ball carriers like I've not seen a team do, and not necessarily this team, because I think this team does play pretty physical, but I think the other element of it is Dick Duron just kind of creating a scheme that made it difficult for the Steelers to get anything going. And I think inevitably when you're trying to push and right and try to do things as an offense to make some hay, that's when fumbles occur.
Well, I think it speaks a lot to where they're, you know, the guys were playing hard, you know, they're 2-7, 2-8 coming into that game, and against a Steelers team that was getting maybe headed to the playoffs at that point, it looks like. And to come in and play that hard and hit that hard and play hard for a coach like Dick Duron, a defensive coordinator, and Pat, and continue to bring it. I think it says a lot about the atmosphere in the locker room. You know, I've always been a big guy about, you know, your team is made in the locker room with the guys and the chemistry that you have and the guys that want to play for each other. And I think the Browns have shown a lot of that. You know, they've got some things they've got to do better, but I think you got to tip your hat to that team. That was a good win against a really good team, and it shows that they've got at least some talent to play with those teams, if not, you know, the execution all the time.
Yeah, the talent is one part of this equation that is a big point to bring up, Steve. And I think the other part is also the attitude, and you bring that up as well, that a team that's still, okay, it's 3-8, and other teams in this situation or similar records, they're sort of looking either at the edge of the cliff if they haven't gone over the cliff. And I see in the Browns a team that does still want to compete. So what does that tell you about maybe the makeup of the players? Does it also tell you about, you know, that Pat Shurmur still has a pretty firm control on these guys?
Yeah, I think so. I think that says a lot of good things. And you knew that it was going to, you know, take some time to do it. I mean, there have been teams in the league that turned around really quickly. But I think for the most part, teams kind of come along and evolve into a good team. You get a guy that you can start to depend on, and then you got to, you know, build around him. And for the Browns for so long, it's looked like it's been the quarterback they've needed, you know. But on the other side of the football, with the defense playing as good as it is, I mean, it says a lot about the head coach, the atmosphere they've got, the direction that the players believe they're heading in, whether it shows on the scoreboard or in the one launch record or not. The players have to believe they're doing all the right things, and I think when they're playing the way they are, the way they did last week, I think it's pretty obvious they do.
And you brought up the quarterback, Brandon Whedon, of course, ends up suffering a concussion near the end of that game, but by and large had his struggles, had a pick six. He did have a touchdown pass. He did lead another touchdown drive. that ended with Trent Richardson's 15-yard touchdown run. An uneven day, but a quarterback who looked like he had improved from one of his poorer performances in the second game against Baltimore, a couple of weeks later against the Cowboys, and then came up with that Pittsburgh game. And yeah, that was Dick LeBeau. Do you chalk it up with to a rookie quarterback struggling against a great defensive coordinator, or how do you sort of see Brandon Whedon's game evolving?
Well, I think, there's no question it's going to be ups and downs for the guy, and you got to expect that. Andrew Luck's has had ups and downs too, and they try and minimize those. That's all you can do. But by the same token, you got to get to a point where you play consistently. And when Whedon, I don't think there's any question Whedon's got the physical ability to be there. Look at his commitment there. And is he getting better? And what happens for usually these quarterbacks, you'll see some flashes of some pretty good plays. And I saw them early in the season when we did you guys early, where the guy can make some throws. And then, you got to make sure the guys around him are helping him like they should, catching the balls they should catch, and maybe even doing some great things to save him once in a while. But then it's all about, really what it comes down to, Vic, is cutting out mistakes. And that takes some time.
Right.
Peyton Manning went 3-13 in his rookie season, and he threw like 28 touchdowns, but he also had 28 interceptions.
Yeah,
that's what the league is all about when you get to that point. When you've got a guy that can play the position, if he can stay away from the mistakes, and then occasionally get his teammates or himself to make one good play, maybe one good play a half or one good play a quarter. Yeah, that's all it takes to be a consistently good quarterback. And Whedon's not far from that. And particularly the way the defense played last week, and boy, he did it against the Steelers last week. That is a good defense. And to get it done like he did, I think you got to feel pretty optimistic about his future.
Steve Tasker, former standout member of the Buffalo Bills, CBS Sports analyst. He will be working the game between the Browns and the Raiders on Sunday. Steve, the next, everything is in steps, right? When you're a young team and you're trying to build towards something, which you talk about consistency and consistent winning and so forth. After a game like the Browns had against the Steelers, and that's a third win, but it's a third home win, the idea now is to show that you can do this on the road. And they have to travel cross-country to face the Raiders. You know what a chore that is as a former player to go cross-country to face that team. It's a struggling Raider team, but it's still on the road, still the time change and all those challenges. What's going to go into maybe this sort of next phase to get this team there? What will it take?
Well, I think they just got to start concentrating on the game. When you get on the road, there's so much stuff you have to think about. Packing for the trip. What's the hotel going to be like? What's the meeting situation going to be like when you get to the hotel? The flight. I mean, this is going to be a long flight out west, and the time change as well. And all that stuff kind of goes into the mix. And it's hard, really, sometimes. And what teams do is they get out there and they forget that. Listen, just get on the field and start playing football. Don't worry about all that other stuff. And it's really hard to do. It is. It's like that old coach said of mine. He said it is simple, but it's not easy. And these guys, they got to learn how to do it. That's all. They got to go out and play on the road. And there are some teams that play better on the road than they do at home for some reason. And it's just, I think it's the ability to look around and kind of get that. Bunker mentality, it's us against the world, and play and enjoy it and embrace it. And if the Browns can do that, I think they'll play a lot better. I don't think there's any great secret to how to win on the road. It's all about just dealing with those distractions and how difficult it is to go on the road and play against all these teams are good, but
yeah.
Just how difficult it is to concentrate on the game that you're actually going out there to play and not get caught up in the trip.
Well, and not get caught up in the trip, and I know this, I can't really make these words come out of my mouth, but take a team lightly. I know at 3-8, you shouldn't even remotely think you can take anyone lightly. This is, when you look at tape of the Raiders, I know mostly they're going to see a team that is struggling, but they're going to see a team that's capable of making some plays. Carson Palmer, and those receivers, I mean, they can still do some things. So it's not as if they're completely incapable, I guess, of playing well, but by and large, this is, as opponents go, this is not going to be as easy to get up for as say a game against the Steelers.
Well, what happens is when you get out there, it's not so much taking these teams lightly, but when you get out to play a team like the Raiders, and for instance, the Raiders thinking this probably about the Browns, is that you think they're going to give you some help during the game. You know, they're going to turn it over. They're going to drop some passes. They're going to miscommunicate. They're going to blow a coverage. They're going to, you know, those are the kind of things that when you start overlooking teams, that's what you're talking about.
Mm.
You just don't think that team can execute well enough to beat you. And you're not going to have to be on your toes the entire game because they're going to do it to themselves. And that's really what it comes down to when you say a team's going to take another team lightly. You just don't believe they can execute cleanly enough to win consistently. And that's what it comes down to. And for the Browns, you know, you look at the Raiders game last week, and they were really manhandled last week by the Cincinnati Bengals. I mean, they were handled really well in the first half, and then they went scored 10-0 in the third quarter. They came back out, got back into that game. The Raiders did, and it was all a question of the Bengals thinking they had the game won and took a deep breath. And the Raiders wouldn't have any of it, and they just decided we're going to play hard and continue, and they got back in that game because of it. It was nothing but a belief, Raiders, that the game was not over, and by the Bengals that believed that it was over. And that game got almost back into the realm of a Raider victory because of that. And you could see it happen. The difference between the great teams or good teams like a Cincinnati Bengal team and a Raider team or a Cleveland Brown team this year on the one-loss record, it came down, I'm telling you, it comes down to the belief that you're going to win that game and playing like you believe it.
Mm.
It was a real good illustration last week in that Raider-Cincinnati game of a team that came out and just wasn't going to give up, and that's what that Raider team did. They came out after halftime and turned it on, and the Bengals had just kind of taking a deep breath, you know. They didn't have that same emotional intensity, and the game almost got away from the Bengals because of it.
Well, great stuff. We look forward to seeing you on Sunday and seeing how this all plays out for the Browns. Steve, thank you so much.
Vic, looking forward to it.
He is Steve Tasker from CBS Sports joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We've got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Such a bargain shopper.
More shoes?
Actually, I found the deal of my dreams online at LibertyFord.com.
You can't believe everything you read on the internet.
You can at Liberty Ford. Paid the online price, got a Carfax and repair history, plus they gave me more for my trade than I had researched online.
We'll see what happens when you get there.
But it happened yesterday, just like they said it would.
Liberty's in Solon, Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion,
Quaker Steak and Lube is the official wing of the Cleveland Browns. This season, get your souvenir Browns bucket at participating lubes while supplies last. Purchase a compact bucket of breaded boneless or award-winning wings, a bucket of lube chips or french fries, or a bucket of 1-inch thick-cut onion rings, and keep the bucket.
Great time, great food, too quick to steak and lube.
Hey, Browns fans, are you heading down to Cleveland Browns Stadium this season? Discount Drug Mart can help you save at the game. Stop at your local Discount Drug Mart today to save 20% at the concession stands, merchandise stands, or at the team shop with the Cleveland Browns Stadium voucher for just $8. Available at the Courtesy Center. Just another way we save you the runaround. Discount Drug Mart, the official drugstore of the Cleveland Browns.
In the world of B2B commerce, a lot can happen between that first B and the second. That's why First Merit Merchant Services is ready for anything. With a full range of support services from fraud monitoring to chargeback mitigation, your business can easily grow and change and grow some more. And if you sign up now, we'll waive your setup fee too. For more information, call 877-507-9007. First Merit Bank. You first. Member FDIC.
Now you can dial a diamond and save half by calling Empire Diamond at 1-800-SAVE-HALF. If you're in the market for a solitaire, engagement ring, anniversary, or investment diamond, then shop around, get the best price, and then dial a diamond at 1-800-SAVE-HALF. Empire will advise you on size, shapes, and values. They'll sell you diamonds directly from the source without a middleman's markup. These diamonds are guaranteed to be priced at half the retail price. A diamond certification by the Gemological Institute of America will be faxed or mailed to you. For qualified buyers, your diamond will be sent to your home or office for a free 10-day no-obligation inspection. Upon your satisfaction, you then pay for your purchase and get a 60-day money-back guarantee. Empire Diamond, located in the Empire State Building for over half a century, guarantees the lowest priced diamonds, 10-day free inspection, and money-back guarantee. Save over half on your diamonds. Call 1-800-SAVE-HALF. That's 1-800-SAVE-HALF. Visit us at dialadiamond.com.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
All right. Well, we take you inside the locker room on this show. Jameer Howerton does that for us. Today he sits down with linebacker Kaluka Maiava. Take it away, Jameer.
First and foremost, before we look ahead to the Oakland Raiders, let's take some time to look back to the Pittsburgh Steelers. You guys had a huge game defensively. What was the mindset heading into that week?
Every time I play the Steelers, you know, it's a big game around here. It's a big rivalry. Nothing gets the fans going more than beating the Steelers. And I've only beat them once my rookie year. And, you know, the fans really look forward to that game. And it was just great to have a great team win. Had a bunch of turnovers on defense. Defense, I thought, played really great. You know, overall win, and it was just an awesome feeling.
You guys went into this season, wanted to focus on creating turnovers, and you did. You forced 8 turnovers. And also, too, stopping the run has been a main focus. Talk about that, because you only held those guys to 49 yards.
Yeah, I mean, you know, coming in with a batch as a quarterback, you know, it was going to be a smaller game plan for them. And, you know, establishing the run was probably a focus point for them. And, you know, we pride ourselves in stopping the run. We're not going to let somebody come in and run all over us. So, you know, we had to show up. You know, we practiced hard. We had a great week of work. And, fortunately, we got the results that we wanted.
You guys lost against the Cowboys. Defensively, you guys registered 7 sacks. What has been the identity of this defense?
I mean, just, you know, everything starts up front. And, you know, and just being solid as a unit, attention to detail. And, you know, we really want to be known as a unit that, you know, no one can just mess around with, you know, and just come and run all over us. So, you know, we take a lot of pride. And we had a bunch of games that just one play away from actually getting a win and turning this thing around. But, you know, we can't go back. You know, we just got to look forward. And we got the Raiders this week, and we'll take care of business.
You're very familiar with this 4-3 defense, but you played in the 3-4 beforehand. But now that you're in this 4-3 and you got these big guys up front and they're rotating in and out, talk about those big bodies, especially with Phil Taylor back in the lineup.
Oh, man, that just having those guys in front of me makes my job so much easier. You know, having them take up the linemen, I don't have to deal with those big linemen climbing up on me. And like my rookie year, you know, in the 3-4, that was real tough for me since I'm a smaller guy. But having the athletes we have up on the D-line just makes the job that much easier, man. There's some beasts up front, and it's fun, man. You know, we work hard during the week and have fun on Sundays.
Unfortunately, this linebacker position, you guys sustained some injuries early on in the season with Chris Gokhan going out, and then later in the season with Scott Fujita. But you had some young guys come in and step up. Talk about just how you guys at that linebacker position have been rallying.
Oh, man, it's really good. I mean, we always have a great, you know, a lot of competition in the room. And those older guys going down, like Gokong and Fujita, you know, it's our leaders on defense. And it was tough to see them go. But, you know, that's how football works sometimes. And the young guys coming up, Jam J, Craig, LJ, Tank, all of them are, you know, they're real fiery guys, you know what I mean? And it keeps the room going, keeps the energy high. And like I said, we pay attention. We work hard during the week. And Sundays is one big party.
And what's it like playing with linebacker DeQuell Jackson? He was named AFC Defensive Player of the Week. I mean, he's just been an outstanding ball player ever since he's come back from his injury as well.
Yeah, man, that guy, I mean, I have the most respect for DeQuell. You know, I mean, injuries, you know, he handles himself like a professional. You know, he's dead, the most dedicated guy I played with. And I'm real fortunate to have him in the room, learn from him, and watch him play. And It's real fortunate to have him on the team.
You guys start the work week to get ready for the Oakland Raiders. What have you seen from this offense so far?
Obviously, you know, you got to deal with the running back. McFadden's a beast, man. You know, and everyone knows who he is. And I mean, they're coming off some tough losses. I mean, we had some tough losses too. So it's going to be a war, man, and, you know, we're excited for the game.
I know you went to USC. You're going to be back in California. Do you have any family members coming up to North Cali?
I mean, that's the only problem with the West Coast games. I got to buy all the tickets, but other than that, it's fine, man, and I love being in California, and I couldn't ask for anything more.
And for yourself, how are you coming along in this defense? Last week, you registered 4 tackles. You forced a fumble. How are you coming along?
I mean, like you said, I only had 4 tackles. I need more than that, you know what I mean? So, you know, that's always growing, always getting better, always room for improvement. But I feel like, you know, I'm coming along, you know, getting to know the playbook a lot better, playing with the guys, you know, familiar with everyone, and it's just being real fun, man, being out there with the guys and getting more wins.
Special teams, you're battling as well, man. You don't stop.
I mean, special teams, that's how I got my foot in the door, you know what I mean? So that'll never change. And they say, if you want to make the league, especially for guys like me, smaller guys, and if you got to play special teams, you want to be in the league. So you secure that, and defense is a bonus.
All right. We thank Kaluka Maiava for that and also Jameer Howerton. And next, we're going to take a closer look at this Oakland Raiders team, this 3-8 team, very same record that the Browns have, the team the Browns are facing on Sunday. Paul Gutierrez, who covers the Raiders for Comcast Sportsnet in the Bay Area, will join us next. As you listen to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, right here on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Stop the car! Your oil change light just turned on.
Oh, don't worry. I have an appointment at Liberty Ford tomorrow.
You don't need to buy a new car. You just need to get your oil changed.
I am. In fact, they will change the oil, rotate my tires, check the brakes, belts, batteries, and filter, all for just $39.99.
What, no car wash?
Well, that too. You get nothing but the best service at Liberty Ford.
Liberty's been stolen. Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion,
Quaker Steak and Lube is the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns. This season, get a free souvenir Browns cup at Cleveland Browns Stadium while supplies last with the purchase of a souvenir beverage. Then bring your Browns souvenir cup to any participating Quaker Steak and Lube location in Northeast Ohio and get a fountain beverage for only $1.49 with a $10 food purchase.
Great times, great food, to Quaker Steak and Lube.
RTA's new L-Line trolley is the quick and easy way to go between Public Square and your favorite attractions at Cleveland Lakefront. Because every weekend you can ride free with a smile from the Rail Hub at Tower City and the Horseshoe Casino to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and Museum, Great Lakes Science Center, and Voinovich Park. So, if this trolley is a rockin', well, just smile and hop on board. The new L-Line trolley from RTA. Get ready to ride.
Every year, my holiday shopping list keeps growing, but my budget sure doesn't. That's why Half Price Books is my destination for one-stop holiday shopping. It's simple, really. Since almost everything's half price or less, I can be twice as thoughtful for gifts where the thought really counts. It's easy to find things that'll tap into anyone's favorite passion, a wonderland packed with gifts from the past to the future. Yep, from kids to grandparents, from books on hobbies to great music and movie box sets, great games and books for the kids, those one-of-a-kind treasures you may not find anywhere else. Heck, even an array of new vinyl LPs, electronics, even turntables that turn the classics into CDs. Or send someone on their own treasure hunt with a gift card. A $25 gift card gets a $5 bonus card for your own thoughtful self to come back and use in January. So hurry to Half Price Books for all your holiday shopping. In North Olmsted, Mayfield Heights, Menor, and Rocky River. To find out more or to find the store nearest you, visit halfpricebooks.com.
Attention business owners, now you have another reason to drive a BMW from Dave Walter, because when you buy any new 2013 X5 or X6 before December 31st, you can qualify for significant tax deductions of up to $25,000 off the purchase price, plus an additional bonus depreciation tax write-off. Simply ask your tax advisor for details, then visit Dave Walter to experience luxury driving like no other, from the dealer like no other, Dave Walter BMW, West Exchange Akron, online at DaveWalterBMW.com. For BMW, CDW, Dave Walter BMW. Call 888-DRIVE-BMW.
Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Vic Carucci with you on this Football Wednesday edition. And this is just the classic win-win. Help a child today. Save on a haircut tomorrow. Purchase a Believe in Miracles bracelet at participating Great Clip Salons, and receive a coupon for $2 off your next haircut. All proceeds benefit the Cleveland Clinic Children's Hospital. Great Clips, it's going to be great. And joining us now is Paul Gutierrez. He covers the Raiders for CSN Bay Area. And, Paul, first of all, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Great to be here.
Well, let's talk a little bit about this Raider team, which has a couple of things in common with the Browns. Number one, same record. Both are 3-8. Number two, they, too, beat the Steelers at home. Did that in the third week of the season. But other than that, it doesn't feel the same, Paul, and I think especially because of the four-game losing streak that this Raider team is on.
Yeah, and I think that's the big thing there, is that you get a sense that the Browns are kind of a team that's finding itself, and a young team, but still finding itself and moving forward. And the Raiders, the R word, which Mark Davis uttered a couple of weeks ago, regression. That's what happens when you're getting blown out four straight weeks in a row, and dropping all four of those games, obviously. And they're still trying to find an identity. They've had to deal with some injuries, but so does every team. And, the biggest news, I guess, so to speak, is that Darren McFadden is back out there on the practice field right now as we speak, as is Mike Goodson. So they might be getting some troops back, but I'm not sure if it really helps out at this stage anyways.
Yeah, you talk about McFadden and his impact, and I want to get into that. But I also, before we do that, I want to look at what these last three games have been. The scores of the four losses in a row, but the last three especially, starting 55-20 to the Ravens, followed by 38-17 against the Saints, and then 34-10 last week against the Bengals. The clear trend being that this team is getting blown out and overwhelmed by a lot of these opponents, or by these last three opponents especially. What do you attribute that to? And some could point to, well, similar to Philadelphia, it's like a team that's maybe losing engagement with the season, if you will.
Yeah, I think what it is with this team in particular is they get jumped early. And as soon as they get down by 10 to nothing, 14 to nothing, then it goes into panic mode, and then the wheels kind of fall off, and you get the sense that not necessarily that they're giving up on the season or that they're giving up on the coaching staff. It's just that feeling of here we go again that has really enveloped this franchise for over 10 years. So that's what's happened the past 3 weeks. The defense is having a tough time stopping anybody. The offense is putting up decent numbers, but a lot of critics will look at it as saying, well, they're doing that in garbage time, so to speak, because it's after the game's already been decided. So you've got a lot of things that are going wrong at the precisely wrong time for the Raiders. Earlier in the year, when they were 3-4 and looking at a home game against Tampa Bay and getting back to .500, you could have just said, well, it was just the offense because the defense was playing well. Now it's every facet of the game is kind of misfiring right now.
And there was a lot of hope and optimism leading into this with Reggie McKenzie coming in as general manager from the Packers and bringing maybe that Packer way there. And Dennis Allen, coming in as a head coach, albeit in a new head coach. And that continuity has been something that we know is the Raiders have lacked, lots of changes in that position. You could point to, well, it's the transition thing, the new thing. But on the other hand, these weren't the expected results. And when you throw in the fact that a guy, an accomplished quarterback like Carson Palmer, is under center.
Yeah, and I think what the danger in the beginning of the season of looking at this team was that a lot of people could look at it and say, well, this is a team that went 8-8 the past 2 years. They were one play away from winning the division last year. 2 years ago, they went undefeated in the division and going 8-8, and that this was going to be the same team, when in reality, they basically gutted the entire organization, not only offensively, defensively, new special teams philosophy. They had to change the programs and the computer programs inside the building. I mean, that's how big the change was here. So while there were some name players and there was some holdover, just changing the offense from the power blocking scheme to the zone blocking, you saw what happened with McFadden, as we alluded to earlier. It just was not the same team, so to speak. It was basically an expansion franchise with some name players on it. And Murphy's Law has really taken a hold these past 4 weeks.
And as I mentioned, Carson Palmer's name, and there's a thing that, when you look at him, that you still see a guy with a big arm and the ability to take advantage of some explosive weapons. And even though the scores haven't reflected that is something the Raiders still have.
Oh, yeah. And with Carson, in my opinion, he's been the most valuable player on this team. He's been the most consistent. And he was really one of the biggest question marks, if not the biggest question mark coming into the season, was how was he going to adapt to this new offense? Because he's not the most nimble of guys. You know, he's the pure drop-back passer, stand tall in the pocket and take a lick while he's throwing the ball downfield. And he's done that. I don't think a lot of fans really realize how tough it has been on him when you looked at the lack of time he's really had to throw the ball downfield. And a lot of teams, especially came to fruition in Cincinnati, they were getting pressure on him with just a basic four-man front, just coming at him, which allows the defensive backs to cover their guys, and Carson has no time to throw the ball downfield. So, in my opinion, what Carson's been able to do has been pretty amazing. Not as amazing as what he was able to do last year, coming in and learning an entirely new language, a new offense, when he was acquired off the couch. But he's been a pretty solid player for them in what has been a disappointing season thus far.
Paul Gutierrez joins us. He covers the Raiders for CSN, Comcast Sportsnet Bay Area, and right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Paul, you've seen this Browns team defensively. You talk about pressure and sacks. 7 sacks against the Cowboys, 8 turnovers forced last week against the Steelers. So this defense has been on that kind of a roll. How do you see the matchup where the Browns have been so strong in their front 7 going up against that Raider O-line and the Raider offense in general?
Yeah, well, that offensive line for the Raiders has been very leaky of late. And Mike Rizzell, the right guard, he had a tough game in Cincinnati. That right tackle, Khalif Barnes, he's coming back from injury. Only going to be his 3rd game back. He's had a tough go of it protecting Carson Palmer. And really the only true strengths on that offensive line have been Wisniewski at center and Jared Valdir out there at left tackle. So, and again, to me, every game is won or lost in the trenches among the line. And that's going to be the key battle. And if Carson Palmer can have some time to look downfield, then it opens up a whole lot of other things. But again, for the Raiders, it all starts at the offensive line, and if they can get, and if Darren McFadden plays, and if he can actually do something in his zone blocking scheme.
Yeah, now I want to get into the McFadden element, because he is, you know, that dimension, and this is also a Browns team that's improved its ability to deal with the run. That was something they struggled with last year. You saw this Browns defense struggle out in Oakland last year, but it did against a lot of opponents. And I think they've tightened that area up significantly. But that said, it still has to happen. What if McFadden is at full go? What are the dimensions? What kind of impact do you think he can have? And maybe what changes would we see from the Raider offense?
Yeah, it's really strange because he's missed the past 3 games, and I don't think they've really missed him in the most basic sense of the word, because it wasn't like last year when he was playing at an MVP for the league type level. When they lost him, the entire offense went off the rails. This year, he's only averaging 3.3 yards per carry, which is a career low for him. Mike Goodson is averaging over 6 yards a carry. Marcel Reese, who was a wide receiver in college, converted to a fullback in the NFL, and now is playing tailback, he's averaging over 4 yards a carry. So if he's back and he's right, I think what Darren McFadden does is he gives you that home run threat every single time he touches the ball. But where the Raiders got in trouble early in the year was they would just keep ramming him into the line time and again, waiting for something to break. And you saw that against Pittsburgh. He had a 64-yard run for a touchdown against them. But that's not really using him to his skills. His skill set is putting him out in space and letting him create. So a lot of it is the play calling. A lot of it is his own head and what he feels confident in doing.
Now, Paul, this Raider defense ranked 25th overall, 28th against the rush, 24th against the pass. Hardly sterling numbers, but a Browns offense that has had, you know, some of its struggles of late, and, you know, didn't capitalize nearly as much as a lot of us thought it should ever, that they thought they should have with 8 turnovers from the Steelers. But nonetheless, some talented people, Trent Richardson, the types of talented players they have, young players, who could, I think, have opportunities if this defense continues to play the way it's playing.
Yeah, and I think that's the main goal for the Raider defense is just for them to have a couple of stops. You know, you saw some flashes of it in Cincinnati last weekend. The 3rd quarter, they had 4 3 and outs against the Bengals after getting run up and down the field in the first half. So they're able to make some adjustments. And I think they're hoping that that can carry over. I tell you, in talking to Trent Richardson on the conference call earlier today, he was interesting in that he sang nothing but praises for Rolando McClain, who has kind of been the poster boy for Raider fans who are angry with this defense because he has not lived up to the billing of being a top-10 pick to be that beast at middle linebacker. And he sang his praises and said that he does. A lot of people are sleeping on him. So we're going to see what Trent Richardson can do against Rolando McClain come Sunday. That's a big matchup I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, I think the whole thing is very intriguing. Well, I appreciate the input, Paul. We do, and we look forward to seeing you on Sunday.
Sounds good. Hopefully, or maybe we do hope that this thing comes down to something like Red Right 88, right? At least from the Raider perspective.
I was going to say, from the Raider perspective, from the Browns perspective, you made a lot of my audience very sick to their stomachs when you
Sorry about that.
Paul Gutierrez joins us, does an outstanding job of covering the Raiders for CSN Bay Area. Check out his great work on the website there. We've got much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
John can't wait. His new F-150 will be here in 30 minutes.
His new what?
F-150. Liberty Ford is delivering it to the house.
Delivering? Are you two just made of money?
No, we were busy later, so they're bringing it to us, paperwork and all. And with the deal we got, I'd say Liberty just made it really convenient.
Ugh, that's just too easy.
No, that's just Liberty Ford.
Liberty's in Solon, Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion, home.
The following was inspired by an actual conversation.
Hello, Subway.
Hey, I was wondering where your meat is sliced.
I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
Oh, man, because every day Arby's is, like, freshly slicing turkey or Angus for their three cheese and bacon sandwich.
Yeah.
And they smother it in melted cheeses and crispy bacon. Where do you think, like, your meat would be sliced?
Definitely somewhere. I don't...
Ah, somewhere. Yes. That's, I got a cousin from there.
Subway is not a registered trademark of Arby's. At participating restaurants for a limited time. Arby's, slicing of freshness.
For your cooler and charcoal budget. For depositing $100 from Section 100. For being ready on game day, PNC has tools like Mobile Deposit that lets you snap and send checks from most anywhere. And Virtual Wallet that alerts you when you're running low. See our tools and apps at pnc.com/alwaysopen. PNC Bank, for the achiever in you. Official bank of the Cleveland Browns. A supported mobile device is needed to use Mobile Deposit. Standard data rates and certain other restrictions apply. PNC Bank, National Association, member FDIC.
Attention business owners, this is Tony Robbins. I've spent the last three decades helping companies create serious business breakthroughs, and I want to help you like never before.
And this is Chet Holmes, author of the number one business book, The Ultimate Sales Machine. If you've heard my radio spots before, maybe you don't know that about 2,000 action-oriented business owners call us every week to get our free reports. But it was Tony Robbins that challenged me to go even further for you.
Chet and I have built a serious training program called 4 Ways to Double Sales in 12 Months.
And here's what Tony convinced me to do.
We're going
to
give this to any business owner who calls us at 800-760-0500. Just call with your email address and we'll email you this phenomenal audio training program at our expense, not yours.
It's a heck of a gift. See if you agree. 4 ways to double sales in 12 months.
Call and leave us a voicemail with your email and we'll give you a program that others have paid dearly to receive. Call right now. 800-760-0500.
I'm Joel Matlin, president of Alarm Force. Alarm Force has the best value for all of your home security needs. Only Alarm Force has no charge live two-way voice with every alarm system. Installation, activation, and warranty are also no charge and only $25 a month for monitoring. Call Alarm Force today.
Call 1-800-267-2001. Alarm Force.
Ohio's best choice for home security.
Why do tire stores advertise one price and charge you another? They can't mount the tires without balancing and valve stems, so why don't they give you those free? It's time for a change. NTB introduces Ready to Roll. The lowest price plus all the extras at no extra charge. Every tire, every brand. Yokohama, BF Goodrich, Pirelli, and more. Even Michelin and Goodyear. It's the lowest install price on tires, guaranteed. Mounting included. Balancing included. Valve stems included. Free flat repair included. Even free rotation for the life of the tire. NTB's Ready to Roll is the best value on the road. Mounting, balancing, valve stems, free flat repair, all included. Even free rotation for the life of the tire. At NTB, you're ready to roll, even on our $39.99 tires. Drive in or schedule service at ntb.com. State mandated fees may apply.
Vic Carucci with you here on this Football Wednesday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. I'm so happy to have with us right now the Browns Vice President of Community Outreach, Renee Harvey. And Renee, let's first of all do a recap of what was a great event on Sunday, the food drive.
Yeah, we had amazing support from our fans. Last year we raised over 29,000 meals. This year our fans contributed over 31,000 meals. So we want to thank our fans tremendously for their support, continuing to give to the food bank throughout the season. So that contribution, as well as the contribution from our players of over 1,000 turkeys, are both something that we want to make sure that we recognize, and also want to thank our staff and players for visiting the food bank and encourage as many folks as possible to head out there.
And as always, Northeast Ohio, great high school football, and a couple of teams moving on with some success that the Browns, of course, are want to acknowledge.
Sure. So through our Game of the Week program that we've done all high school season long, we will continue to support two local teams, as you mentioned, Akron St. Vincent St. Mary, as well as Kirtland, as they advance to the state championship. So first, want to congratulate them on a job well done, wish them luck, and the Browns will be there on Saturday to cover both of those games, so make sure you check that out on clevelandbrowns.com. And then at the next game, we'll actually be recognizing our Coach of the Year with an $8,000 contribution for their support through that program.
That is tremendous. That's staggering when you see that number. Now, Renee, if you can give us a preview of, I know, again, busy time of year, what's coming up next?
So next Tuesday, we actually have two different events taking place, and they're the culmination of two fall programs that we have in the schools, one of which is our Play 60 grand prize for our schools that participated in our Play 60 challenge. We'll be heading out to a school, as well as our Touchdown for Reading program. So we can't announce those schools yet, as we are currently contacting them. It's a surprise, but the school that we'll be heading to for Touchdown for Reading, their students actually logged over 100,000 minutes from their school alone. So they're in for a great surprise on Tuesday. And then that evening, we're actually going to be down at the stadium for the annual Deck the House event, which is a large fundraiser for our crisis nursery partner, which is Providence House. So at that event, Annie and Joe Thomas will be the honorary co-chairs, but it's also the event where we recognize and honor our annual Ed Block Courage Award winner, which has been voted on by his teammates, and that will be Reggie Hodges, so he will be on site as well.
Tremendous. $50 for general admission, and that $10 of that is tax deductible.
Correct. For more information, fans can check out provhouse.org.
Great stuff. Thank you, Renee.
Thank you.
It's now your chance to Ask Vic on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
To the Browns social media pages, the official ones, Norma from Facebook says the Browns need to play that hard and physical all the time, as they did against the Steelers. The coach has to have fire in the belly and not stand back and be so passive. Well, Norma, I would say this. I think they have played hard and played physical in many other games, and not just this season. I mean, the Steeler effort is notable because of the outcome, because of those 8 turnovers. Obviously, a lot of things that really stand out there. And they were hitting hard throughout. But I recall a very hard-hitting Browns defense facing the Steelers last year. You may recall in Pittsburgh. Remember that goal line stand in Pittsburgh? That was some hard-hitting stuff there. Chris Gokong, who, of course, is on IR, has been for the whole season and will be the rest of the season, was the catalyst of that. So this team, I think, has played that way. And as far as you referred to Pat Shurmur having fire in the belly, he's got fire in the belly. There is a great passion to this guy. He may not always be the most demonstrative guy with that on the sidelines or in press conferences or whatever, but I assure you he's as fiery as anyone connected with this team. I assure you of that, being around this guy a lot. Matthew from Facebook said it really was about time that we started delivering the blows. It's been way too long, Matthew. See the answer I gave to Norma. Josh from Facebook says, I'm still jacked out of my mind about the win over the Steelers. I say, win out and show some heart. 8-8 is a huge building block for such a very young team. Well, I love your thinking. Of winning out these last 5 games would be wonderful. How realistic is it? We'll see. I mean, anything's possible, but you got three of these five remaining games on the road, beginning in Oakland, and then back-to-back Denver, Pittsburgh, then you know the rest of the schedule. Hard schedule for the Browns, but I think there are opportunities in there. And I don't think, though, that, you know, showing heart to win out is what this team needs to do. I think the heart is being shown. I think through this 3-8 season, what I haven't seen is a team that has shown any sense of giving up or, you know, or indicating that it doesn't want to be part of trying to do the best week after week. And I think they have reason, plenty of reason to feel challenged in that regard. I want to thank Steve Tasker. I want to thank Paul Gutierrez. I want to thank Kaluka Mayava. I want to thank Jameer Howerton. I want to thank Joe Meadows and Drew Boatner. I want to thank Renee Harvey, my outstanding producer, Dave DiNatale. We will talk to you again tomorrow night on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.